T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hi. It's time for Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner. Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner is presented by JP Roofing and Siding and Tri-State Office Furniture. And brought to you in part by King's Jewelry, Morrison Kitchen and Bath, Armstrong Business Solutions, Leon's Billiards and More, and Yinzer's in DeBerg. Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Listen to all those sponsors. That's how you know you got a good show. When so many people want to buy into it. Where you got to wait at least 30 seconds before we can say hello to Zach, because we got to make sure all the people that wanted to spend money to invest in the show get their mentions, Zach. That's huge.
It's money hour, Pony. It's money hour on the hump day.
Yeah. It's a perfect day to have you on, too, because a lot of offensive line talk has happened since the game against Cincinnati. I want to start by saying, and this is the way I'll introduce what we're going to talk about. Remember those books, that like those Four Dummies books that were very popular? Absolutely. For a long time? I had a girlfriend buy me, yeah, Sex for Dummies when I was in college, believe it or not.
I thought that was called the
Kama Sutra. She got you ready for the wife.
What's that? Yeah, that girlfriend is not my wife now, by the way. So apparently the teachings.
Well, she got you ready for marriage. There you go.
The teachings in that book did not translate, obviously, to that relationship. But I want you, because you're talking to two guys. Mueller did make 9 threes in a game once, and I was barely an athlete. You're talking
Legend
to two guys that didn't play in the NFL and obviously weren't even offensive linemen, period, at any level. So I want you to educate our audience here, Professor Banner, if you will. Dumb it down a little bit for everybody. Run blocking. Been such a big topic. How do the Steelers get the run game going? Well, it starts with the offensive line. Well, how does it start with the offensive line, Zach? How does it get better?
My boys are doing great. We cut out the outside noise and that type of stuff is just simple rhetoric to what it is that we do. And
well, when the coach though says that the running isn't good enough, I mean, that's not. That matters, right? I mean, that's not us saying it. That's the big guy.
I think that's just him showing humility and, you know, and how we play. And you're right. He is right. Is it dominant? No, it's not. But I personally can't comment on other guys' play. I mean, that's just not right. You know what I mean? The offensive line in terms of a bad way. I point out the good things. Our number one player and leader is 7. So what do? We protect 7 and do what he does, and a lot of no huddle situations that we're used to, and pass protections and things like that. But when it comes down to it, guys, the run blocking and stopping the run, you know, the defenses that we've been going against haven't. It's not like they're horrible. You know what I mean? They have a bunch of guys up front, so we're getting the ball. I mean, we had what, 4 different passing touchdowns the other day to 3 different receivers. I mean, you really can't complain about our play.
Zach, when people
I'm
talk
really not
about,
trying to make excuses upon it either.
When people talk about like run blocking in general, though, one of the things I always hear, like fans or guys who say they coached high school football or still coach or they played offensive line or whatever, that they always say is like a truism. They say, guys, you know, mentally, if you're on the offensive line, you love running the ball sometimes, even if you don't get a big game, because you get to hit somebody else, and psychologically, it's good to be able to hit the other guy instead of sort of be in pass protection and be sort of taking the hit. How legit is that as sort of a thought that people throw out there a lot from the outside looking in?
I think if you also look at it too, to add to what you're saying, Mueller, and what you're hinting towards, is our guys who are out there right now, Al Villanueva, Pouncey, Dave DeCastro, Chooks, and Filer, those five, a lot of them have experience in the pass protection in the past, especially the heavy pass game. You know, in the past 2 years, especially when we had Connor down in certain situations and things like that, as you guys know, especially 2 years ago when Ben was healthy, we went to a heavy passing game. And that's just the style of play. I mean, when it gets down to it, the style of play is the most important thing to execute. And our guys out there who are, you know, they're capitalizing in the pass game. I am pissed about this injury, one, personally, if we want to bring me back into it, because I think one of my biggest skills is in the run game. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's why I've been a designated right tackle my entire career, been able to use my size and things like that. You're going to get a lot of more finesse out of these guys out there. That's just plain old facts, but we have to step up to the challenge. We need to. The reason why Coach T is saying that ultimately is because when it comes down to it, we need to win games in all phases, the run, the pass, special teams, defense, and all of them. So that's really what he's hinting towards. Trust me, the man is happy to be 9-0 right now.
How about 2-point stance versus 3-point stance from a run blocking standpoint? Speaking generally, to tell everybody what that means and how that affects the way you run block, Zach.
Obviously, coming out of a 3-point stance, you have 3 points into the floor, so you're able to come out of your stance explosive, and it's more of a run block demeanor. Mm-hmm. But the 2-point stance, I mean, if in the NFL, you have to be able to diversify from both, because then you got guys who watch film, you know, routinely and religiously, like, you know, TJ and Bud and those guys. I mean, they do that for our defense. I can't imagine what it's like, you know, with the other players around the league. But when they watch us, I mean, we're a dominant offensive line. So when they're watching film and they're able to tell tendencies, you want to take those away. So you kind of want to diversify it with the 2-point stance. But I mean, if the whole line is up at 3-point stance, it's 98% of the time a run.
So it's a dead giveaway for the defense of what's coming next is what you're saying. Pretty much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then if you get other guys, like, you know, I like using both and diversifying both. I got that from my guy, Jackie Slater, played 20 years for the LA Rams. He just, you know, he talks about finding two different things that you can do in each stance. And what that means is, you know, not just, I mean, you guys take it down to run block and pass block, but there's obviously multi dimensions within that.
Sure.
Zach, I got one for you that goes back to the sort of, hey, you're 9-0, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it offensively, because we know Roethlisberger played a great game against the Bengals. What do you say to people who say, well, you've got to be able to run it in the 4-minute drill? At some point, you're going to need to run out a clock. Is it possible to turn it on and off like that? Like, because I think when people say that, they say, well, you've got to prove you can do it earlier in the game. You can't just ask guys if they've been pass blocking for, you know, 30 minutes of holding the ball or 27 minutes of holding the ball to try to run block and execute running plays to run out a game clock in maybe the playoffs. Is that legit? Like, how much do you have to have had success earlier in the game to feel like you can have success late in a game?
You always want to have that 4-minute team and that 4-minute, you know, personality within your back pocket, especially when you get against these good teams that we have in this later stretch in the second half of the season. When it comes down to it, mm-hmm. the bottom line is we do not, as good as the defense is, we don't want to give these talented quarterbacks and skilled players and all these guys around the league who get paid all this money to score touchdowns, we don't want to give them the ball regardless. And I don't think there's a team out there that we're going to play that we don't want to give the ball to in a 4-minute situation. So when it comes down to it, Chris, I mean, that probably is one of the biggest personality traits that you want to develop. And I think didn't we have a good 4-minute offense against the team? Was it the second or third week?
Denver was really good at the end. Houston, it was good at the end. Yeah. So that's going back a few weeks, but it did happen.
So, right. We've done it. We haven't really been in too many of those situations since then, but when it comes down, we've shown that we can do it. We just got to have it in our back pocket ready for, you know, to use.
Zach, do you feel personally, this is just your opinion, it's your show, so you're allowed to say what you want and there are no repercussions from us when you say it. Right? I think you're in a trust tree. I don't even think the Steelers mind what you say. on the show. They understand that you're just very candid and very full of life when you're on here with us. Do you personally believe that the run game and the short passing game are the same thing? When people say, oh, the short passing game, it works like the run game. It's the same thing. Do you actually believe that?
100%. And that's what I'm hinting towards. Yes, 100%. That's what I'm hinting towards, because it's been in a lot of these guys who have developed this. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, Canada that brought it too. You know, Randy has had it in his arsenal as a coach too, you know, using bubble screens and short routes and things like that. But when we got Canada in the mix now with a lot of these motions and a lot of different things and a lot of gadget plays is what they call them. When you're able to swing the ball out, Ben throwing it 15 yards to the left and gaining 4 yards is just as good as Connor doing the same thing on a power scheme. And sometimes too, when you're moving, the reason why you want to develop it's called an RPO, run pass option game. When you want to develop that game, that RPO game, the reason why good quarterbacks lean on it so heavy like Ben does is because, dude, guys make mistakes when we're moving fast, when we're dominating, pushing the ball up the field, going to different receivers all over the place. But, you know, Ben sees these things. He sees the field as like a chess player, and we're his pieces. So he's having that back and forth with the guys on the field as they try to get, you know, as minimal communication as they can in the headset. So we depend heavy on that, and our receivers know it too, which guess what? That means they need to step up and block. And we have a lot of receivers who, you know, Juju, Deontay's kind of light. He tries to do a little bit of finesse. James Washington, one of the best pass blockers I've ever seen at receiver with Juju. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Look, check the film. The man has pancakes as a receiver. That's legendary.
Now, do you find it, you personally, outside runs, inside runs, is there one that you feel you're better at? Do you feel like the identity of the team? Are you more an inside running team, outside running team? I mean, what would you say about that, Zach?
Because we have Connor, who is, and the rest of our arsenal of running backs are stable, but our main running back, you know, James Connor, because he is also able to go downhill, put his shoulder down, but is more of a finesse, more of a, you know, get out in the open space kind of guy. We're diverse. We don't lean on, you know, inside zone, outside zone. It's coached the same, you know what I mean, in the same way, in the same capacity. The when you get to teams like Derrick Henry, you know, in the Titans, when you get to teams like that and Leonard Fournette, when he was with the Jags and things like that, a heavy run team. That's when you get a lot of dominance within the duo game, within the which is an alternate version of inside zone, the inside zone game, and then a lot of play action off of that. So I think if you're technically going to say it, we're more of a zone team. Inside zone and outside zone are equal.
Interesting.
All things being equal, Zach, you just as a football player who loves football, if you could be a part of an offensive line that ran the ball 40 times for 270 in a game, 280 in a game, or a team that pass protected and kept the quarterback spotless, you win the game both ways. One is you're keeping the quarterback upright, he's throwing touchdowns. The other is you're absolutely knocking people off the ball. What does Zach Banner want to do more?
Well, luckily, we're able to do the passing part with the quarterback that we have. And I was blessed enough to have, you know, Sam Donald at SC and Cody Kessler before that. So they were able to make up. But if you're asking me, true nitty.
Just your this is not trying to play favorites. Your personal preference. Yeah. Like, you would,
if
you're
calling,
winning either time. You're
I'm
winning 35-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if I'm calling the play, we're running power behind me. 12
nice.
Plays in a row. 12 plays in a row till the 4-minute clock goes down. And it's actually happened before. I'll tell you a story. Back at SC, my junior year, we were playing UCLA. We're dominating them at home. Check the scoreboard. And we're running down the 4-minute offense at the end, just like we were talking about. Clay Helton comes up to me and says, as our coordinator, he says, we're going to run Red Trojan, which was our, I hope they don't call it that, by the way, because I'm giving it away right now. I'm giving national media our playbook. I'm sure they developed a new, I hope they developed a new play call. For
somebody over in their facility, like in an hour and a half, is like, can you believe this? Banner gave it away. All right, call everybody up. We're changing it now. It's Gold Trojan.
I'm gonna text him after this, but he basically said we're gonna run Red Trojan, which is power behind you, 12 play or as many times until the clock goes down. And we just, you know, we dominated. And our left guard, especially at the time, he was more of a puller. So it's one of those type of things. If I want to play my ball, I want to maul somebody and laugh and enjoy the team, enjoy the game.
What do you mean laugh? So you just knock someone on their ass and then just laugh at them? Jeez.
To myself, yeah. If they're talking crap by that time, we're having good conversation.
So this is like nine straight threes.
Having good conversation? Wow. That happens? You talk to the guy on the other side throughout the game?
I do not initiate it at all. Mm-hmm. But being a 6'9" offensive tackle and things like that, a lot of guys feel like, you know, it's small man syndrome. It's just like Chris talking about his basketball stats. A lot of guys want to hype themselves up. You know what I mean? And it's one of those situations where I'm going to respond with my play, and then I'm going to laugh. I'm going to be like, hey, remember what you were saying earlier? Mm-hmm. Remember what you were talking about? Yeah, you thought.
Damn.
Nine straight pancakes for Zach Banner, it sounds like, on that blocking
assignment.
That would
be exciting. That would be exciting.
Well, Zach, I think a lot of people, you know, now have more informed opinions on the run game thanks to the start of the show. So that's good.
It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things that when I hear fans, I understand. I understand that, you know, they want to have all phases. They want Connor to have 200 rushing yards, and they want Ben to throw for 5 touchdowns. But when you're talking about the National Football League, there are dominant players on each side of the ball that emphasize their – we talked about that personality, their resume. Whether it's a run stopper, a good run stopper at the nose tackle, or whether it's, you know, a downhill linebacker that's good at reading. You're not just going to force something that's not working. Connor is doing what he needs to do, and the running back stable is doing phenomenal, in my opinion.
There you have it. Zach Banner, text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up, Steelers fan art, and we have found Mike Tomlin's biggest fan, most famous fan at least.
Back with more Zach. Let's tackle it with Zach Banner. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
LeBron James grew up in Akron. You think that makes him a Steelers fan?
I think he's just a fan of the NFL, right? I think he's a fan of the NFL.
So he's got one of those Rob Lowe caps where it's just the NFL logo on it. He doesn't have.
Yeah.
That's so weak.
He's with the Cleveland gang.
I regret to inform you both. I think he's made his NFL fandom pretty clear, actually. I believe he's a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Ugh.
That's Yankees, right. He did go to the Cowboys.
He's one of those Yankees, Cowboys, Duke basketball types.
LeBron.
Liverpool fan and partial owner as well.
He didn't put any thought into it. That's
what
tough to me.
What a front runner.
Yes, it's very tough to get that.
Very similar to Snoop Dogg.
Wait a minute. What's
Snoop loves Pittsburgh teams. He wore that Penguins jersey in the like Gin and Juice video.
Okay, the man is a West Coast legend. So when he, you know, he understands what gangs are. Obviously, he is part of one, a very notorious one. But the man is a diehard Trojan, and his son went to UCLA, and he put the foreign colors on. So I personally think the man could be wishy-washy. I'm calling Snoop Dogg out on my show right now, by the way, Pony. That's crazy. That's crazy. Just humble.
Use that platform.
Was he courting real danger by putting that specific color on? Was he like in any real danger, you think?
Like in life and death situation? No, Mueller. It's football. It's gang talk. It's gang talk. You know what I mean? It's not actual his real gang life. I don't know how involved he is into that anymore, especially as how old he is.
I think
when
that,
it comes down to being a wishy-washy fan, he's definitely the trophy boy.
Yeah, we got a guy here at the Fan who says he can root for Penn State and Pitt, which I think is complete garbage. That's like saying, oh, I root for I root for the Penguins and the Flyers, or I root for the Ravens and the Steelers. You can't have it both ways like that. I think he just
roots for mediocrity. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. I think he's in love with mediocrity.
I think the
two universities.
I think the middle here. I think the common denominator, the common thread, if you will, is Hayden, right? Because isn't Hayden cool with LeBron? Isn't there something going on there?
Yeah, There's some personal relationship. Joe is friends with a lot of very powerful people, and LeBron is one of them.
Really? Like who? Can you name any other names? Name drop for us, Zach. Who else would Hayden have in his phone?
Everyone else around the NFL. I mean, really, I mean, I understand, you know, when it comes down to like Hayden's personal relationships, I have no idea. I'm not sitting there listening, you know.
What do you think it is about Joe that makes him so popular?
He has three Rolls Royces.
Oh my God.
I mean, come on. He has three RRs. The man's a legend. He has over 100 million career earnings already. That's insane.
Oh, I didn't know that. But wait a minute. On top of being a good teammate, Mueller's question. Why is he so popular across the NFL? Why is Joe Hayden the NFL's equivalent of Mr. Congeniality?
Have you guys ever met the man?
No.
I mean, the dude's super friendly. He's a lot friendlier than I am. And you know what I mean? That's saying something. And
it's Pony, we had him on the air once. What do you? We met him.
Yeah.
Pony, we had him on the air. He was fun.
Yeah, he is. He's jovial. He's a nice guy.
He's fun. He's a good dude.
I want to segue into this. And by the way, you're listening to the Zach Banner Show, brought to you by King's Jewelry, celebrating love for over 100 years. What do you guys make of this Ben Roethlisberger colored pencil sketch that's going around social media today? This Twitter picture. I have to, Zach, I'm sure you've been the subject of fan art before, where somebody has sent you a painting or a picture or something, and do you have to? In those instances, you probably pretend to really like them, and then I don't know what you do with them after that, but
I've kept a couple
really?
Of paintings.
Really? Like what?
A couple of football paintings. There's the pancake block against Beagle and Miami last year in my Monday Night Football.
Okay.
First game playing, and then there's I'll send them to you later. We're playing Cleveland, and I'm reporting as eligible, but I think that Ben comparison to the Mona Lisa was funny. But a bit of a stretch. It is nice, especially to know that someone hand drew that. But
see, if I'm Roethlisberger, I'm insulted by this. I'm very insulted by this sketch, because whoever did the drawing gave him a comb over. Look at that hair. Look at that way the hair. It implies that he is, you know, trying to hide some baldness in this drawing.
I don't know why he's taking on this GQ look, but I'm gonna talk to him about it tomorrow.
The hair actually, the front of the hair looks like Chris Berman's hair does now. Like, it looks, even though it's a drawing, it looks kind of sweaty and stringy and not altogether very good.
And since when does Roethlisberger have these, like, moles on his face that I see?
The one on his cheek has always been there, Pony. Okay. My God, how do you not know that about him?
But what's that other?
I'm trying to come up with some new content, Chris, but how can you comment on someone's haircut at all? What gives you the right?
Oh, I'm not commenting on his haircut. I'm commenting on the person who drew it, like sweaty Chris Berman hair.
My mistake.
Listen, there's some – what I've – hold on, Zach. What I've done with my hair I think is dignified. I think a comb-over is like, what are you doing, man? It's like trying to be a dad who's in his 50s trying to act and dress like he's in his 20s.
But
just
I don't think Roethlisberger's losing his hair. I think he's just going like,
I know,
with a
that's the
cut.
Point. I don't think he is either. I'm strictly talking about whatever the hell it is that Chris Berman wears on his head.
Craig, do you have a take on this drawing? You're the one that sent out the Mona Lisa comparison. It's basically, this is Pittsburgh's Mona Lisa, this Ben drawing.
I have zero artistic ability.
Yeah.
But if I possess that level of artistic ability, I probably wouldn't try and draw Ben.
Really? See, I think that's where you would be putting it to good use. You'd be drawing, you'd be doing elaborate sketches of like parlay cards and Roethlisberger.
Pony, I can't stop looking at the hair now on this,
I know,
on this sketch. Like, it is mesmerizing how bad the hair is here.
Zach, you know who Craig's really pissed off at? Nick Chubb, for running out of bounds at the 1 yard line because he bet the Browns. What was your reaction to that play? Did you like that?
I personally, I know the man looked at watched the film and was like, yeah, he should have got down. I personally appreciate the unselfishness. It's impressive.
So do I.
Really. It really is.
I loved that.
It really is.
Yeah, Pony, you loved it because you bet on the Browns minus three, and it saved you a loss in our weekly picks.
Texans plus three is what I did there. All right. Yeah, this Ben thing is interesting because the person's trying to sell it for like thousands of dollars. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Who's going to
– How much?
like 10 grand.
What if Ben, what if Ben bought it just to make sure no one ever saw it again?
And just immediately. No, I think Ben's
threw it in a bonfire. No, I think broke it over his knee and chucked it in a fire.
I think Ben's Twitter boosted it. I think they sent it out to everybody. That was they're proud of it. I think they're Ben must like it. I don't know, but
he probably has it in his garage.
Oh my God!
All right, follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Kia. Wexford and North Huntington. How about this? Is perfect. This is going to be great for Zach. How tall are you again? 6'9"?
6'9".
A former NFL offensive lineman who 6'8" got into a fist fight today and lost. We're going to tell you about that story next. Yes, that's next.
Back to more Let's Tackle It with Zach Banner on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Zach, when was the last time you were in a fist fight?
that was quick. Last time I was actually in a real fist fight?
Yeah.
In college with my boy, late and great Max Turk, my center, who I lost to a heart attack this offseason. It was our second year, sophomore year. And it's actually, we came in at the same time and everything. Mm-hmm. And just two competitive offensive linemen and things. And he absolutely hated. He was from Santa Margarita, Orange County, group of dominant football players from there. Who else? Mark Sanchez, and some in company. But he. Dude, he was so angry on how much personality I had in the room, and he just hated it. He despised it. And one day he shouldered me after he heard that I had said something about him, and he like nudged me, and I shoved him back, and we're throwing fists. And then right after that, he comes up to me with a bloody nose, and he says, "Are we good?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're good." And we became best friends. I think fights can bring people closer, not just lose jobs.
It did not happen in New York with the Giants. I mean, you saw Joe Judge, not that you got too close to him. Obviously, I hate to bring back the bad memory of that Giants game, but, I mean, you've seen this guy. He went up against a former left tackle, a former offensive tackle in the NFL who was 6'8", 350, and got into a fist fight with the guy. And I don't know what Joe Judge looks like right now, but I am impressed that he even allowed it to get to the point where he was willing to throw hands with such a big dude.
A lot of testosterone in football can make you do dumb decisions.
Zach, I want to know this. Do you believe what people are speculating, that an actual fist fight happened, or the Giants claim that there were just some very naughty words said to Joe Judge, like one particular extremely naughty
words?
Word. One of the worst words in the English language.
It's
Kim Jones reporting this, Pony. And so somebody said that he said, Colombo said, one of the worst words you could say to a person.
A
in
word's
English
not getting a guy fired
Judge.
After two wins. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, I think I've answered my own question here. That is a very weak cover story. Wouldn't it make the whole thing even a little bit more badass if they just admitted, yeah, those two fought and Judge is the head coach, so Colombo's fired?
I mean, I'm guessing that Colombo won the fight, don't you think? In terms of like the actual fight itself, and that's what's getting him fired.
Joe Judge should go into professional boxing if he beat up a guy that's 6'8", 330.
Yeah, Joe Judge has gone up the list of my tough football coaches list. He is rising.
Oof.
He is a high riser on my list. There's this big thing now on Twitter today, Zach. I don't know if you saw it now because of this story. Now people are talking about like if there was just an all-out brawl between NFL head coaches, who would win? And the consensus seems to be Mike Vrabel. Is the guy that seems to get the most.
Because he's like, he's a freaking retired NFL linebacker. That's
yeah, exactly. Who was willing exactly to cut off his penis to win another Super Bowl. I mean, that says something about
do
a man's
anything
toughness.
To win, yeah. I personally have no comment on who's going to win that, but if top three, I'll say Mike's in the top three.
Muller, sure. You want to bring anybody else to the table here, or are you good?
I mean, not having been in any real fights in my life, which is probably a good thing and a reason that my face is
and
only
shocking.
Slightly off-looking, like and disfigured looking. The one that people brought up to me was Sean McDermott up in Buffalo. I guess he was a two-time high school, like, you know, prep national wrestler of the year. I generally don't want anything to do, not that I want anything to do with physical confrontations to begin with. If somebody was a two-time wrestler of the year and they're a football coach, doesn't feel like it's going to end well for most average human beings.
And McDermott played college football at William & Mary with Tomlin. I mean, he was one of those wiry,
I feel like McDermott's messing people up.
Dudes, yeah. College wrestlers are just wired differently, man. They're out there. They're just different.
Good
they're
point.
Different people.
Very good point.
They'll snap at a moment's notice. They're loose cannons.
If you see that cauliflower ear, get out.
Right, exactly.
If you're willing to do that to your ear.
Listen, in Los Angeles, especially going to SC and everything, when we'd go out and stuff, we'd be at the bars, mm-hmm. you'd see this 5 foot to 5 foot five, 5 foot 10 range of a man with all this jewelry, beautiful women around him, all the drinks, bottles. And if you see that cauliflower ear, you know exactly why. It's probably a professional UFC fighter. It's insane.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Great call. I wonder if you've ever seen coaches go at it. Like maybe not to this extent, Zach, but have you ever seen coaches come to blows or no?
Absolutely. That's why I can confirm to you there is no such thing as a naughty word in football. There is no. You were right. You answered your own question. And this will probably blow up mm-hmm. this situation if it gets out of hand and people's names start name dropping and things just because it's the New York Giants.
Yeah.
An unfortunate situation like that happened in New York. We'll find out the truth. We'll find.
Didn't
out
Tom Cable like to scrap with people?
Yeah, Cable punched somebody's lights out in Oakland, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken. I've talked to Gradkowski about
that. He was accused of punching assistant coach Randy Hansen in the face and fracturing his jaw.
Oh, my God.
Gah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yikes.
I thought these coaches weren't even allowed to be around each other with the COVID stuff right now. I thought it was all virtual. I mean, that's what Tomlin was talking about 2 days ago. He's like, we're all dinosaurs. I can't even picture Keith Butler getting on one of those Zoom meetings. I just can't. I just can't picture a guy like him conducting Zoom coaching sessions. But I guess these are the times we're living in, Zach.
No secret information other than the fact that Butts does not set up his own technology. There is help nearby. I promise you that.
I can imagine this dadgum cable. Where's this go? He's trying to plug in Ethernet cable into the wall, into like a regular plug.
What's it mean, HDMI? What's that mean, Banner?
I can imagine. Does he pronounce it Wi-Fi, not Wi-Fi? Does he go, what's this Wi-Fi I'm supposed to use? It says connect to Wi-Fi.
I don't know. The man obviously played, you know, 70s Steelers football and stuff. So you can imagine his vocabulary is very, very diverse. It's awesome, yeah. Honestly.
I bet. Yeah, that's all. Need not say any more on that one for sure. All right. Any kind of parting shots here, Zach? Anything you want to get off your chest or anything you want to say? Or are we good here this afternoon? What do you think?
Shout out to a fan. Yeah, shout out to a fan listening in, Jim Snyder, for correcting me earlier. He said the word is mediocrity, not mediocrity.
Oh, no. Zach, he tweets me all the time telling me to lecture Andrew on how Andrew pronounces words.
Well, Jim, go ahead and go tweet at Mueller right now and tell him to screw himself. And I'm saying thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you. I'm tired.
Nice. What's a good amount of sleep for Zach Banner in a given night? What is a number that if you hit that number of hours, you feel good about the sleep?
Mandatory. In season, especially, mm-hmm. 8 to 10. I know that sounds crazy, but there's just sometimes I'm just beat. Being hurt right now and on IR and stuff, try not to change that up for healing purposes. But if I get 7, I'm good. If I get 7, I'm okay. That's bare minimal. If I get 8 to 10, I'm golden. Anything lower than 7, I'm in pain.
Well, I told Mueller the other day, I said, as long as you get enough sleep and you drink enough water, that's more than half the battle. Everything else 100%. Takes care of itself.
Then the nutritional piece. If you can add that third part, you're winning.
Big time.
Seacrest?
But Pony acted like he could basically eat like a trash compactor.
No, I did not say that.
As long as he drank water and slept enough, he'd be good.
Just start with the sleep in the water. And then work on a little exercise, get better nutrition.
Oh, boy, you're really audibling at the line of scrimmage here. This is impressive. A check with me.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm believing Mueller on this situation, Pony.
We've run out of time, so we can't even get into any of that stuff. All right, Zach, trying to get to 10-0 on Sunday against Jacksonville, right?
I'll be rooting them on just like you guys.
Cool. All right, Zach, take care,
bye,
buddy.
Zach.
See you next week. Later. Right.
There you go, Zach Banner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.